The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths and inshallah we'll continue hearing about the sacrifices of our aslaf rahimahumullahu ta'ala but before that let us hear an excellence of reciting salat ala nabi the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said sallu alayya sallallahu alaykum recite salat upon me allah will send mercy upon you sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam it's understood and it's known by everyone that when a person is affluent, when a person attains prosperity and success, when he fulfills his aims, goals in life, he's wealthy, he has great status and rank in society, then what happens? Even enemies come and begin to befriend that person. Everybody wants to be around him. Everybody wants to be close to him. Be acquainted with him. But the reality is when a person doesn't attain this rank, doesn't attain affluence and wealth, he may be suffering to the greatest degree. The people around him at that time, they are his true friends. Because the first scenario where somebody has everything and people flock to him, that's because they sense that they can also gain a piece of the pie. They can also benefit through this person. He's wealthy. If I go to him, if I sit with him, if I befriend him, if I go into his good books, then I'll be okay as well. I'll achieve success. I'll achieve financial independence. But when a person is down, when a person is suffering, when a person has no possessions, when a person has no rank per se, then firstly, people will not want to sit with him. People would not want to be associated with him. And secondly, if by any chance people are associated with him, then this is what true friendship is. That you're not befriending that person because of what he can benefit you with. You're befriending him solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because apparently there is no individual benefit for you to befriend such a person. And we know about this. People put statuses like this on their social media, etc. So it's an understood thing. It's accepted by one and all that this is the case. And another thing, when you are suffering from poverty, when you are unsuccessful in the eyes of people, then let alone others, even your family members, even your own relatives, will sometimes distance themselves from you. They don't want to know you. Allahu Akbar. But when we go to the beginning of Islam, that period, and when we study the lives of those who sacrificed for the sake of Islam and who were devoted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that they didn't possess much. They didn't have a lot of wealth, many of them. We know some Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in were very wealthy and affluent, but we're speaking about the majority. And when we study their lives, we realize, subhanallah, how their sacrifices were met with great acceptance from the divine court. Allah Ta'ala blessed them. And now what they've attained in that we're remembering them more than 1400 years later, this is better than everything else that they could have attained. All that wealth, all that prosperity. So we do things for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So inshallah, we'll hear about the lives of the Sahaba. And inshallah al-Aziz, we will gain many, many pearls of wisdom from these accounts. First of all, an incident regarding the great Sahabi, the Sahabi who narrated the most ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala. He states and he narrates his own incident. He says, Wallah, by Allah, oath upon Allah, because of hunger, my situation was really bad. The kayfiyah that I was going through, inexplicable. And what was his state? He says that because of hunger, he had to lie down on the floor. And because of the same hunger, he would tie stones to his stomach. He says that on one occasion, I sat in the middle of the path. And people would obviously walk there, go back and forth using that path. I continued sitting there. And I was so hungry. I had this yearning, this desire in my heart that if only an opportunity arises where I'm able to attain some food, I'm able to suppress this hunger, I'm able to satiate myself, I'm able to remove this hunger. So what happened? He says, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala walked past. He saw me. I began conversing with him. But I did not relate anything regarding my state. I did not say to him, I'm hungry, can you provide me food? After Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu departed from there, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu walked by. And he says, I began speaking with him as well. And yet again, I didn't mention my situation, how I was suffering from extreme hunger. Now here, before I move on, something to ponder about. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr first arrived. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is extremely hungry, suffering from hunger. He didn't ask about food. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala also walked by, and the same thing happened. And this Sahabi who is sat there, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, because of hunger, because maybe someone notices, maybe someone provides him food. This shows us that despite the circumstance of this great Sahabi, despite suffering from extreme hunger, Sayyidina Abu Bakr came past, Sayyidina Umar went past. Both were qadir, both were able to provide food. But Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala did not ask either of them for food. He did not demonstrate that he was suffering. He did not express his neediness. This is what we should learn, dear viewers of Madani Shan. What we do is, we tell everybody about our problems. But here the Sahaba, they are facing real problems of livelihood. And food is essential. Allah Ta'ala has created us, human beings, in a way that we are dependent upon food. We need food as a form of nourishment. Otherwise, you can't survive. He states that when these two noble personalities, Sayyidina Abu Bakr went past, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also went past. After that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. That master, alayhi salatu wasalam, who bestows blessings upon everyone. The one who is Qasimun Ni'am, the one who distributes the blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet alayhi salam is the same person who said, Innama ana Qasimun wallahu yu'ti. I am the distributor, Allah is the one who bestows. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I have been granted the keys to the treasures of the earth. This is that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam we're talking about. Now when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he came past and he was blessed with, subhanAllah, insight. He had knowledge that others didn't have. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could tell when somebody is suffering and what type of suffering he is going through. So the Prophet alayhi salam looked at Abu Huraira and said, Oh Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira replied, Labbaik ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am present, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his way to his honorable home, his blessed abode. And Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu followed him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked his family members, the prophetic household, if there was any food. And in the house there was a bowl of milk that was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salam said, what is this? It was said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has come from somebody's house. Now it was the habit of the Prophet alayhi salam that whenever sadaqah was given, he wouldn't eat it himself. Rather, he would gift it to the Ahlus Suffa. Ahlus Suffa referred to those Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in who left everything, their homes, their families, everyone, and began staying in Masjidun Nabawi ala sahibiha salatu wassalam. And what was their purpose in staying in Masjid Nabawi? To learn knowledge, to gain sacred knowledge directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was their noble teacher. And if it was tuhfa, it was a gift, then the Prophet ﷺ would eat it himself. When the Prophet ﷺ found out that this bowl of milk was actually a gift, so the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Huraira, go and call the Ahlus Suffa, all the people of Suffa. Now look at the situation. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is suffering from hunger himself. And you know what he's been going through. He was sitting on the path in hope that somebody would give him food. There's only one bowl of milk. And the Prophet ﷺ has one guest, Sayyidina Abu Huraira. But he doesn't say to him, drink this bowl of milk. Rather, he says to him, go and call the people of Suffa. When the Ashabu Suffa came, they came in tents. Eventually, there were 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in gathered in the blessed home of Rasulullah ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, take this bowl and give it to the people of Suffa, the Ahlus Suffa. Each of the Sahaba drank to their fill. The bowl was passed on. All of them drank. And the amount of milk that was in that bowl at the beginning is the same as it is now. Meaning after 70 Sahaba have drank that milk, the amount of milk in that bowl is the same. So it's a mu'jiza of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Huraira, that drink it. When Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu drank the milk, he then distanced it from his mouth. The Prophet ﷺ said, drink more. He says, this happened thrice. When it happened three times, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I said in the court of the Prophet ﷺ, Wallah, I can't drink anymore. I have no room left. I'm full. After that, the Prophet ﷺ, right at the end, after he is granted that milk to all of his devotees, the Ahlus Suffa and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, only then does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink that milk. And this is a miracle of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, and in the books of Seer, you will find this in the bab of Mu'jizat al-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma puts this into poetic form, and we know that his poetry is a tashri' of Quran and Hadith. And this particular Hadith, he writes regarding it in poetic form, Kyu janabe bu huraira kaisa tha wo jamishir jisse 70 sahibon ka doodh se muh phir gaya. Oh Abu Huraira, tell us, how was that milk that you drank? That same milk which 70 sahaba drank, and then they said, that's it, no more, meaning they drank to their fill. Allahu Akbar, look at the blessings found in anything connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Abu Huraira, tell us about that blessed drink, that blessed milk. Allahu Akbar. Now, of course, this was a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we know that the Sahaba faced a lot. They suffered from hunger. They had pangs of hunger. But despite this, they remained at the doorstep of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They remained loyal to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu himself says, 3 days passed in this state that I had nothing to eat. 3 days. Many of us, if we were to ponder, we will not find a single day, a single night in which we were deprived of food. If I look at my life, I don't remember a single moment, a single dinner time, lunch time, breakfast, where there was no food on the table, there was no food in the fridge. Yes, we know people in the world have varying circumstances, and some people in reality are facing very difficult moments where they don't know where the next meal is going to come from. It's hard for them to make ends meet. But I'm referring to those people, including myself, who never had to face that. May Allah Ta'ala always keep us under the shade of His mercy and bless our fellow Muslims as well with afiyah. But look, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, for 3 days I did not have anything to eat. Allahu Akbar. He goes, I left my home, I went towards the Ashab Sufa, and on the way there, because of this weakness, this intense weakness in my body, I fell to the ground. The kids thought I had fallen unconscious. I had become insane. And I said to them, I'm not insane. I am in this state because I am hungry. I'm suffering from extreme hunger. He says, eventually I reached Ashabu Sufa. When I went there, I saw that the Prophet ﷺ was presented with two bowls of sarid. Sarid was a particular dish that was liked by the Prophet ﷺ, was ate by the Prophet ﷺ. And what it is you take bread, make morsels of it, from it, and then you dip it into a curry of some sort. And when it's soaked in that curry, after a while you'd eat it as well. It was tasty. So sarid, the two bowls of sarid were presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ called the Ashabu Sufa. They were eating this sarid that was presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, when I reached there, we know his state. When I raised my head, I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in my heart there was this desire to attain some of that food. I'm suffering. I'm extremely hungry. I thought to myself that the Prophet ﷺ will place his merciful glance upon me and then call me towards himself. But what happened was the Sahaba Ahlul Sufa continued eating. When they had finished, the Prophet ﷺ called me. So I was waiting there. And the bowls were empty, seemingly empty. And a little bit of the remnants of food were around the bowls. Remnants of food. So you wouldn't say there was an actual dish in there or food in there, just remnants. The Prophet ﷺ called me and said, recite Bismillah and begin eating from the sides of the bowls, meaning the remnants of food that you see, begin eating that. So he says, I sat, whatever was left, I began to eat it. I recited Bismillah, I began consuming that. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu himself says, Wallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the one in whose power is my life, that remnant of food that was left, which bazahir seemingly doesn't amount to anything, a person would never think I will be able to satiate myself with that. He says, I continued eating that until my stomach was full. A small amount, but I continued eating it. It didn't finish until my stomach was full. And this was another miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the Prophets alayhi wasalam were all given miracles. But the Prophet alayhi wasalam, the greatest of all prophets, a sha'ir, a poet, has said, Mu'jize anbiya ko khuda ne diye, mu'jiza ban ke aya hamara nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Our Prophet alayhi wasalam is a miracle from head to toe, miracle personified. Now Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is relating the account. He says, I continued falling, people thought I was insane, or fallen conscious. And this was all because of food. But dare nabi par para rahunga pare hi rehne se kaam hoga. That I will continue begging at the doorstep of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will remain there because I know I will be satiated from this court. I know I will be granted blessings from this court. This is the loyalty of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So these Sahaba, they went through difficulties. They suffered from hunger, extreme hunger. But did they leave the court of the Prophet ﷺ? No. Imam Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he states, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was wearing clothing, garments made from very fine material, expensive material. He says, when we came to the court of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he also had like a handkerchief which he would use to blow his nose when required. And this handkerchief was made out of expensive fine material as well. And he himself would say, wow, Abu Huraira is using this fine piece of cloth handkerchief to blow his nose. I remember a time when the Prophet ﷺ, the area between his minbar and his blessed hujra, his blessed chamber, I used to be on the floor lying there. I remember that time. And I was unconscious. And at that time, people would walk by and they would move me out of the way with their feet. Sometimes they would place their foot on my neck. And this would squeeze my neck. And why would they do this? Because somebody who was insane, this was the ilaj, this was the way they were cured. This was the remedy for them, that the foot would be placed upon their neck and pressed so that this person regains consciousness. And people thought I was unconscious. People thought I was insane, rather. And he said I wasn't insane. And this was all due to a lack of food. I was suffering from extreme hunger. Allahu Akbar Kabira. He remembered that time. He's got fine clothing now, but he never forgot that time. And this should be the case today as well. When a person's halat change, when a person becomes affluent after ghurba, when a person becomes wealthy after suffering from hardships, he should never forget those old times. This will keep him in check. This will keep his feet grounded. This will keep him humble. And the Sahaba would do that. They would remember those times. May Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, grant us contentment upon what we have received in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to remember Him Jalla Jalaluhu in times of difficulty and ease. And may we never forget those difficult times, especially when ease arrives in our lives. And when we attain ease, we should never begin to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the same blessings that He has bestowed upon us. May Allah grant us all tawfiq to do amal. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.